I want to encourage you to take your Bibles, please, and turn with me to Luke chapter 11. Luke chapter 11. Several weeks ago, we began what I said would be a series relative to the natural life of the Christian. The natural life of the Christian. And the first aspect of the natural life of the Christian is prayer. It shouldn't be the last resort. It should be the first for the Christian. And we're looking at Luke chapter 11, and we specifically said that it was natural with the Lord to pray. Look at verse 1 of Luke chapter 11. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Father in heaven, I thank you for your word, and I pray that you might teach us, Lord, the importance of prayer, the necessity of it. And I pray that we might be a praying people, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I read you this statement last time, and I want to read it again because it's such a good one. It was written by a man by the name of S.D. Gordon, who was a Bible teacher in the early 20th century and wrote several books. I've counted at least nine that are still available today. You have to kind of go to Amazon and look through different book read sources to find. There are about nine books that he wrote on the different aspects of Christian living, and most of his series has to do with prayer. And this is what he said: the greatest thing any man or woman can do for God and for man is to pray. You can do more than pray after you have prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. Prayer is striking the winning blow. Service is gathering up the results. We have a tendency to put service before prayer, don't we? We get busy, 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 busy. But I want to tell you, prayer has to come first. Service is gathering up the results of your what? Your praying. Seeking God's face. Desiring for His work to be done in your heart and life and in the hearts and lives of others around you. In this passage of Scripture, the disciples noticed something about their Lord. And what they noticed was that He was a prayer warrior, and they went to Him and asked Him to teach them how to pray as John had taught His disciples. You know, it's so important that we understand that people read our lives. What did Paul say? He says, my life is an open epistle read of all men. Your life is an epistle. People look at you and they can tell what kind of a person you are. If you're real or if you're a fraud. If you're someone that really loves the Lord and walks with the Lord, or if you're just a nominal Christian, people can read that in your life. You can put on a good show, but sooner or later, it comes out what kind of a person you are, because the way you live and the things you love and how you spend your time all reveal what kind of a person you are. And we need to just step back sometime and take a look at our lives and ask ourselves some pretty serious questions. What kind of a prayer life do I really have? Do I have a prayer life where people can actually come and approach us and say, would you help me? I want to know how to have a more meaningful and deeper prayer life. Or are you the type of person that people wouldn't ask that question? Because you don't have that kind of a prayer life, and it shows. The disciples saw in Jesus that He had a real prayer life. Isn't that wonderful? They knew they could go to Jesus and be taught, and they knew somebody else that had a real prayer life too. Who was that identified here in this passage? John the Baptist. John the Baptist had a real prayer life, and instead he taught his disciples, Lord, would you teach us how to pray? You know, you don't go to somebody that has no clue about doing mechanical work and ask them how to work on your car. I mean, you wouldn't do that, would you? Or if you have somebody that has no clue about computers, go to them and ask them how to fix your computer. Is that going to be helpful? How's that going to go? Not very well. It's frustrating enough to try to figure it out on yourself, but then when you go ask somebody that has absolutely no knowledge of it, you just frustration level rises above your head. Right? Why am I talking to this person? They don't know anything about it. But what's even more frustrating is going to somebody that advertises themselves to be knowledgeable in computers, and then you get nowhere with them. I had that experience a couple of months ago. I went over to get some help on a computer and talked to a young man that was there. And we just simple things. He'd had no clue. And I said, "Are you the regular computer guy here?" "Oh, yeah." And I said, "Well, I'm a little confused, I have to say." I said, "You've not been able to help me a whole lot on what I need to do." He said, "Well, there is another guy that's on staff here that's a lot better than I am." I said, "What's his name and his phone number?" I was done with that conversation. I wasn't going to spend any more time talking to somebody that knew less than I did, and that's bad. All right? You want to go to somebody that knows what they're doing. Do I hear an amen? The disciples saw in their Lord a prayer warrior. And they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." Isn't it interesting that the Bible makes a very strong emphasis on the believer praying to God? I could take you through passage after passage. Matthew 5:44, "Pray for those who persecute you and plan all manner of evil against you falsely for my name's sake." Pray. Matthew 6:5, "Men ought always to pray." Matthew 6:9, "This then is how ye ought to pray." Our Lord giving the example there. Romans 12:12, "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer." Faithful in prayer. Ephesians 6:18, that great verse of Scripture, after all the different protective gear of the Christian, and then we go to the offensive weapon, the sword of the Spirit, and then we get to verse 18, and says we ought to do. What we ought to do is go practice using the sword. No. It says we ought to pray with all prayer and supplication. Well, wait a minute, Lord, I need to go practice sword play. I got to get this down. No, what you need to do is go to the Master and be quiet and listen. Go to Him in prayer. That's what the Lord said. Our order is we get things all messed up. Man, we put on the armor, we grab the sword up, and we're going to go out there and say, "We're going to do battle for God." And we don't pray. You know what you are? You're a victim at that point. You're going down. You're not ready to fight because you haven't prayed. Listen, victory with souls, victory in your classroom teacher, victory with your children at home parents, victory with your grandchildren, grandparents, victory with your co-workers happens on your knees. That's where it happens. I learned this lesson way back in 1989. I'd been teaching for 2 years, and I had a fifth and sixth grade class that I thought was going to be my end. RIP, I was thinking about putting that over the door or putting it on the front of my teacher's desk. I just didn't think I was going to make it. I had some stinkers in my class. And boy, I just prayed, "Lord, please help them to be sick today. Help. And I'd name them, "Lord, help them." And you know what? I got convicted about that. I should have been convicted about that. And I said, "You know what I haven't been doing? I haven't been praying for those kids like I ought to." So I took my class list home, and every morning I prayed for each one of them. And I prayed for all of their faults, and I prayed for them to come to know Jesus Christ. And you know what God started to do in my class? We started breaking down some walls. I had some parent conferences with one particular child that I was having a very difficult time, and they came to me and said, "You know, we've been really struggling at home with the child. Have you noticed that at school?" Now, I could have just lit in. I said, "Yes, but I'm praying for him. I'm praying for him. And I want you to pray with me. And here's what we're going to do together as we work on him." By the end of that year, we had seen victories in that child's life. I never saw that child again. Military family. I've often thought about that child. He was the one that kind of, I bent over and grabbed my ankles on. God was whipping me because I wasn't doing right by that child. I wasn't praying for him. If you're going to do right by people, you got to pray for them. Oh, it's so easy to criticize. You know, we get into our more righteous than thou attitude and we start criticizing. Let me ask you something. Are you praying for them? It'll change your opinion about them. Get all cocky and you know everything and you're better than everybody else. And I'm going to tell you something. The greatest humbling effect for the Christian life is prayer for other people that you don't really care for. It changes your life. It changes your perspective. The Lord Jesus Christ was praying for Judas. The Lord Jesus Christ was praying for those that persecuted him. He prayed for the peace of Jerusalem. He prayed for the people. He was often in prayer. Our blessed Lord prayed for us. He prays for us. He's our intercessor. And oh, how we need to pray regularly. Oh, he prayed regularly. Matthew 14 and verse 23. And after he dismissed them, he went up into a mountainside by himself to pray. That was whenever they were about to go out on the Sea of Galilee. And he's up on a mountainside. They're wishing that he was with them, but he was with them. He was praying for them. Not only that, but we read in Matthew 26 and verse 36, then Jesus went out with his disciples to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to them, sit over here while I go and I what? Pray. He was a praying Lord. Very early in the morning, while it was still yet dark, our Lord got up, left his house, and went into a solitary place where he prayed, we're told in Mark chapter 1 and verse 35. Luke chapter 5 and verse 16, but Jesus often withdrew himself to a lonely place and prayed. That was our Lord. The master of the universe, the one who spoke the worlds into existence as a human, having taken upon himself flesh, what did he do? He prayed. He prayed. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. Jesus went out into a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to his Father. Luke chapter 6 and verse 12. I could go on and on with all the different examples. Luke 18, 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that men ought always to pray and not to what? Faint. In other words, quit. You know, it's amazing. Been with the kids in camp this week, and you'll start a game. And in just a few moments, you'll see one or two of them just start wandering off to go do something else. They're already bored. We just started the game. I said, where are you going? Get back over here. I want to go do something else. Yeah, just quit. Just quit. You know, my parents didn't know what that word quit meant. There was a lot of things. I wanted to quit piano. I said, I'm a trial and a tribulation for Mrs. Wood Sr. I think I ought to quit. I don't want her to have trials and tribulations. You're not going to quit. I played the piano from 6th grade all the way up through 12th grade, and I said, I'm going off to college. And guess what? They had a requirement as a secondary instrument. Piano. 2 years of piano in college. And I had to sit in there, and they had about 15, 16 pianos there, and you put on the earphones, and the teacher said, nobody will be able to hear you except me. That was comforting. All right, it's time now to take your test. Would you turn to such and such? I mean, they just picked random songs. You had to sit down and start playing. And you were just praying, I hope nobody else hears that, you know, and you see the people looking over at you or whatever. I said, I guarantee they're hearing me. They're over there, and I'm missing notes and all that kind of stuff. Piano. I really didn't want to do it. But you know what I enjoy doing? I enjoy going sitting down at the piano and playing. I'm thankful now at 54, but I wasn't thankful then. Let me just say something, folks. You can't live the Christian life without prayer. You can't be what God wants you to be without prayer. You can read your Bible. You can do all the things that a Christian is supposed to do, but if you're not praying, you don't have grounds to declare yourself a Christian because you're not talking to your Lord You're not spending time with Him. We'll pick up with this again because there's so much that we can learn from this on this matter of prayer, folks. We are in desperate need in the church today for prayer warriors. We don't have very many. I think I can say that. We just don't have that many people that are willing to take the time out to pray. We got too many other things to do. We got to do this, and we got to do that. We got to go here. We got to do. No, we just don't have time for that. You've got to make time. Our Lord did. He set a wonderful example, did He not? And we need to follow it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word. What a lesson is given to us in the New Testament of how to pray. Lord, You were the great example. The disciples saw in You a prayer warrior. I pray that You would teach us that we cannot do anything that's worthwhile until we have first prayed. We cannot put service ahead of prayer. Prayer must come first. Time spent in Your word, yes, so that we can feed and grow, but there needs to be that time alone with Thee. And I pray that You would teach us, for I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.